John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. From the surface of the planet Earth, we go to the surface of the planet Mars to brave little Ingenuity all by itself, the robot drone on the surface of Mars on Jezero Crater, being watched by the whole solar system because an historic moment to be celebrated for as long as the Smithsonian wants to build the exhibit. Bob, Ingenuity, the last time you reported, it weathered its first night. How is it doing so far?
Well, more things have happened, several things. First, they have now unlocked the rotary blades and done the first tests to see if they would rotate and move, and yes, they have done that. So the rotary blades are going through tests right now, and they're so far, at least they seem to be working. We haven't got a full report yet, and we have a few more days, and that's the second piece of news. I've got a link on Behind the Black, which links to the provides information about where you can watch it. I will embed the JPL live stream on Behind the Black when it happens. But when it happened is interesting. They were originally talking about they're going to launch it on April 11th, this coming Sunday. But they've now announced they've shifted back a little bit, and it's going to actually happen in the morning hours of Monday, April 12th. And that's interesting because that means it's going to occur on Yuri's Day, which is the anniversary of Yuri Gagarin's first flight into space by a human being, and it will be on the 60th anniversary of that flight. And I think that's really a nice touch, historic touch, to have this flight, the first powered flight, atmospheric powered flight on another world, take place on the same day the first human being.
Also because it's carrying a piece of the Kitty Hawk biplane. I guess that's what it was. It was a biplane.
Yes, it was a biplane because it had two wings, top and bottom. Plane is, it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it was a powered out flight, and it's carrying a tiny piece of fabric from that Wright Brothers plane from Kitty Hawk on Ingenuity. So this is tying together great moments in almost every aspect of
Little after midnight in Pacific Coast time, 3:30 in the morning in East Coast time, and much later in the morning in Europe for everybody to watch. We go from the surface of the planet Mars to the surface of Bennu, the asteroid where OSIRIS-REx has been in experimental mode for some time. Is OSIRIS-REx headed home yet, Bob?
No, it won't actually head home. It fires its engines on May 10th. To begin its return to Earth in September of 23. But it hasn't done that yet. But this week, it completed, finally, its last flyby of Bennu, close flyby. It got within just about 2 miles close to the surface, right over the Nightingale sample grab-and-go site. They have not released any images yet. They say it's going to take a few days to download that stuff. Remember, right now, we've got a lot of data being downloaded by both Perseverance and Curiosity and Juno. And so they don't get first dibs. They'll get it down to us. So I expect in about a week we'll have some pictures of Nightingale, and we'll have an idea of how the surface of Bennu changed when that sample grab-and-go arm poked into the surface, grabbed some material, and then moved away. But as of now, OSIRIS-REx is in good shape. It's got its sample. And in about a month or so, they will fire the engines and head back home.
And in the meantime, the Chinese have two probes on the far side of the moon, Chang'e 4, which is the mothership, and U-2-2, reactivated. Bob, what is U-2-2 giving us in terms of data? Do we have a complete chronology of what it's up to?
Well, we don't have a complete anything with anything the Chinese do in terms of science, but we have some basics of what they have learned. They published some papers. U-2-2 has been moving to the northwest mostly from Chang'e 4, and right now what it's discovered is that most of the material on the ground where it landed is ejecta from a impact crater to the northwest, a smaller impact crater than the impact crater they are in. And they had actually hoped, this impact crater they're in has a very flat floor, and they had hoped that they would be able to get some volcanic material impact melt from that crater, but they're not getting it. They're getting the ejecta from the other impact. And so they've been moving U-2-2 to the northwest to reach an area they think will finally get away from the ejecta and get them that underground material, that other basalt material. That's about 3/4 of a mile away, and it's going to take you to probably 2 to 3 years to get there. But it keeps working. This is its 29th lunar day in operation. It was supposed to only work 3 lunar days. 29 days, lunar days is about 3.5 years. So it's doing really well when you consider it from that perspective, John.
A feature of Bob's Behind the Black Site, now and again, Bob finds a story about science being distorted, perverted, damaged by scientists. And this time he finds a German scientist. This is a psychologist. What has he done, Bob?
Well, it appears an investigation was just released. It appears this psychologist, who's one of the top German psychologists, he's been cited almost 1,000 articles published, and he's been cited nearly 70,000 times. He's an editor of one of their main magazines, and he's in charge of one of their research institutes. Well, it appears he manipulated and also forged data on one of his studies. Instead, he was supposed to do a study of work habits at about 100 clinics. He had them study about 2-3/4 of those clinics and then told his researchers, just copy the data from the other clinics to cover for the ones that we're not going to do, basically faking data. And then when there were two whistleblowers came after him, he threatened them, and he threatened the investigators as well. And this just brings back the connection between government scientists and science is not a good one, because the money that comes to the government scientists from government warps the science. We've seen this in the health field the last year. Their leaders are not based on science. They're usually people who play good power politics. We've seen it in the climate field. We've seen it in the sociological and medical fields. A lot of corruption, because the people in charge generally are not really scientists like this guy. They are really power politicians who play the game.
Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black. I'm John Batchelor.